Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel of Christ is powerful. The gospel of Christ is life-changing. The gospel of Christ is the only power unto salvation. You know, I've had quite a hectic day, but then I'm still going to preach. Hallelujah. Yesterday was my birthday, and the love and the appreciation, the honor, it's all overwhelming. I want to thank everybody that reached out. Thank you very much for your kind words and gestures. So, Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 116. And then we started seeing, you know, we continued our study on what to do if and when I sin as a Christian. What should I do? And then yesterday I began to share practical steps to take. Today I want to just make a few comments or further clarify what I shared yesterday on association. Most times believers are trying to pull away from old habits, but they stay in old companies. Hallelujah. They stay in the old company, in the old association, old friendship, and they want to, you know, those old friendships and associations in the which they form the old habits are the same places they get stuck in, and they are willing and desiring to break off those habits. Now, if you go to a place where they always fan to flames the habits that, you know, you want to let go, there's no way you're going to be free from those habits. Hallelujah. If you continually go to places that remind you of that which you are trying to do away with, there's no way you're going to walk free of that. So, association is very key. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 11, Bible says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, our hearts is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to you, children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Praise God. You see? So, it's really about our associations. Paul is talking about influence. And Paul is saying, you don't have an agreement with idols. You don't have an agreement. You don't have any part with an unbeliever. There's no fellowship between darkness and light. There's no communion between Christ and Belial. You must not allow the world to influence you. It's something you deliberately cut yourself away from. Now, don't get the point. Don't miss the point, rather. Don't miss the point. I'm not saying we don't relate with people. I have unbelieving friends that I relate with. I have people that are not saved that I still relate to, talk to, you know, do business with. However, they are not able to influence me in my work as a Christian. I don't spend the bulk of my day sitting in their midst and they are doing all the talking, speaking into my heart. If I ever have to spend time with them, then I'll do most of the talking. Hallelujah. Of course, unless it's a business meeting where we are not saying anything that can influence each other's beliefs and we're just discussing strictly business. But in a setting where, you know, in a casual setting where everybody is free to say whatever, if I'm ever meant to be in the midst of folks who are not saved, then I have to do most of the talking. Because I can't open my heart to their influence. Glory to Jesus. And mind you, they are also wary of me. They are trying to run away from my influence also. They know that I'm a light. They know that my persuasions, my belief pattern, my mindset is different from theirs. So they also are on the lookout. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to be converted from the error of their ways. So they are guiding, you know, themselves and guarding their hearts. Of course, that's doing disservice to yourself. I should be the one guarding my heart against the influence of the world. Praise God. So if I find myself in the midst of people who are not born again and we're having a casual gist, I should do more of the talking. And in any case where they say things that contradict the truth of the word of God, I should not be afraid to voice my opinion based on the word of God. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying we don't have anything to do with the world, we don't relate with the world because now we are Christians. That's not what I'm preaching. The point is, you don't allow the world to influence you. More so if you're a new convert. More so if you are struggling with things and you're still not, you know, done with dealing with habits that were normal for you. Or a norm for you before you met Jesus. and then you still go back to places where you form those habits and you spend the bulk of your day there, you spend your time with them, and they have the opportunity rather to speak into your life, speak into your mind, and influence you according to their own ways. It's wrong. Hallelujah. So we can be friends to people, or friends with people. We can love them, relate with them, associate with them, but we do not give them the opportunity or the right to influence us in our walk with God. Hallelujah. The man James has one of the strictest rebukes against friendship with the world given to saints. One of the strictest you ever find. I mean, it could almost pass for being judgmental. James chapter 4, glory to God. James chapter 4, I'll read from verse 4. Habits is adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? He says, the one who chooses to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, it doesn't say God is your enemy. It says you make yourself, that is, you begin to act contrary to God. You begin to act in opposition to his will, his purpose, his plan for your life. I mean, the world cannot influence you to walk in accordance with the will of God. You know, the world is in enmity with God. So if you yield yourself to the influences of the world, though you are saved, you would walk like an enemy of God. Haven't you seen Christians who persecute other Christians for preaching the gospel? I mean, it's absurd. It's abnormal. They've opened their hearts to the influence of the world. You find Christians tagging fellow believers all kinds of names because of their fervency. Call you an SU, call you Spirit Coco, and all that. They are believers too. But they've been influenced by the ways of the world. Haven't you seen believers who don't cherish evangelism? Who don't cherish the things of the Spirit? Who make a mockery of tongues? Such men have yielded themselves to the influence of the world. And, you know, by so doing, they've become enemies in their walk, in their actions towards God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, James says, it's wrong. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And then he says, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So, I'll be closing on this today by restating again that the first thing you should do is to start making an assessment of your life. Hope you are not in the wrong relationships. Hope you are not in the wrong associations. Hallelujah. Now, one of the most profound truths in the New Testament is how that for being born again, you have been brought into a new family. You've been introduced into a new family. There's a new relationship waiting for you, to just fit in and enjoy and explore and take advantage of, you know, all that God has in store for you. There's a new family he wants to introduce you to. And a lot of believers do not know the importance of staying in a healthy local church, in a sound local church. Some folks will tell you, I can pray all by myself. And that's the reason why they've not been praying. Hallelujah. Some folks will tell you, see, I don't need anybody to instruct me. I don't need anybody to teach me or encourage me. I can always read my Bible on my own and all that. And then they go days defaulting, not steered to read their Bibles. Let me say this to you. One of the functions of the local church is to ensure consistency in the right things, consistency in spiritual things. So it is not that you don't know you ought to read your Bible. It is that you will not always feel like reading your Bible. And that's when you need the input or the motivation of others. So Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke and to stir up to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but as, you know, but so much the more even as we see, but exhorting one another, and so much the more even as you see the day approaching. So you see that there's a place for the gathering of men who are able to spur you up and stir you up and infuse in you the right desires and passion for God. Hallelujah. So it is not that you don't know what to do, it is that you will not always do the things you know. It is not that you don't know you ought to read your Bible. It is not that you don't know you ought to pray. It is not that you don't know you ought to evangelize, but you will not always feel like doing them. So the supernatural relationship that God has created for you and has put you in would ensure that you keep doing those things even on days when you don't feel like doing them. They keep you going against or in spite of feelings. Hallelujah. So we must never talk down or look down on the essence of a local assembly, of a local church. That is where you find believers to relate with. Believers that would keep you on your toes. Believers that would keep you on your toes. Believers that would set you on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You see, this lone ranger mentality is not scriptural. God has not designed you to walk on your own. God has not designed you to struggle by yourself. God has not designed you to try to figure out everything by yourself. He has put you in a family. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Go and watch those who are always keeping to themselves. They are not making as much progress as they ought to. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this now from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We'll come to this later in this teaching. For the saints, for the keeping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and cried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Have you seen that every part is doing its share? Every part is doing its share. Every body is involved. It is not just about the pastors or leaders in the church. It's about every part making a supply for the growth of the body. So that means your growth is dependent on the supply of the saints. Hallelujah. Your growth is dependent on the supply of the saints. So you can't stay out of the right relationship and then get yourself involved with wrong relationships and expect to grow. You also cannot come out of wrong relationships and associations in the world and then stay alone and expect to grow. Isn't it amazing that while you were in the world before you met Jesus, you took advantage, so to speak, of associations, influences around you to really explore the things you were doing. Amen. It was men that influenced you. It was not a low ranger thing. You find people forming cliques and associations and groups in the world. And then those things actually spur them to do more, albeit negatively. Now that you're in Christ, God has put you in a community, in a family. Take advantage of that. Glory to God. You see, while we know that we all have been saved and called as individuals, the truth is we also know from scriptures that God has put us in a family, that there's a togetherness to our faith. There's a togetherness to our faith. There's a togetherness. Hallelujah. You know, look at how the Bible says we are the household of faith. Galatians 6:10 says, do good to all, especially to the household of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, 19. Bible says, we are being built. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, you no longer are strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are members of the household of God. Verse 22, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. There's a togetherness to our Christian faith. Hallelujah. There's a togetherness to our faith. Glory to God. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let me read from verse 14. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There's a family of God in heaven and on earth. So we are not isolated from the family. We are not just individuals. We are members of one another. 1 Corinthians 12. We are not just individuals. We are members of one another. There's a togetherness. There's a link. A believer that does not take advantage of the family of God or take advantage of fellow saints, you know, for his own growth and maturity, is shortchanging himself. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, these things I write to you if I delay, that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. The house of God. So the church is called the house of God. It's the family of God. Hallelujah. The household of God. The family of God. The household of God, the family of God, all these are terms used to describe a relationship we have with one another. There's a community of believers, a community of saints, men who are of one Father, of one Spirit, of one hope, of one calling, of one baptism, of one Lord. You know, men who have been called into the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a whole lot in that relationship and association that is waiting for you. That is waiting for you to begin to enjoy. Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. Many of those who get stuck in habits and, you know, they don't know how to get out of it, though they know they ought to read their Bibles, they ought to pray, they ought to be committed, but then they struggle with those things. All they need is to have somebody that can pray with them for a long period of time. You meet together daily, you pray, you study, you pray, you study, you pray, you study. By the time you are done, maybe for a space of 3, 6, or 8 months, I'm not talking about some casual commitments. Somebody you can pray with on a consistent basis. By the time you are done praying for 10, you know, for 6, 8, 9, 10 months, God, you will have forgotten all the habits you came with. That's the truth. Because you know what you just did? You just formed new habits. And that's exactly how to break free from habits. You form new ones. You're addicted to something else. In this case, you're addicted to the word of God, to prayers, to spiritual things. You become a word addict and your life will not remain the same again. I'm going to continue from here tomorrow. So do good to tune in with your friends, family members, relatives. Put on your social media status and let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayers, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.